is raising generation people.
These words you're about to hear is set to transform you and set you on the course of your life. Pastor Marvis Oji brings you God's word, divine and true. Get transformed as you listen.
Don't say it like a local person, say it with some level of global and intercontinental dignity. Say it's good to be in church. Glory to God. I want to welcome every one of you to church this morning. The psalmist said, I'm excited when they say, let us go into the house of God. I'm excited. So this morning, as I was just relaxing, after the first service, I was just trying to study. And I stumbled on what somebody said this morning, that they were in church this morning and it's raining heavily. And the choir leader is singing, open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. And the pastor's wife said, sorry, what's your plan? Let it rain. No, don't let it rain. Praise God. Glory to God. So we started this series on dominion. Somebody say dominion. Dominion. Can you say it loud and clear? Dominion. Dominion. Say to yourself, I am in charge. In charge of my destiny. God has given me the mandate. I will fulfill my prophetic destiny. Ah, Nakosta, you know how important it is to me. One of my assignments is to see that people fulfill their prophetic destiny. Enter into their purpose. Enter into their assignment. Can you say it loud and clear? I must fulfill my prophetic destiny. You are not just a man or a woman. You are a carrier of a mandate. And God expects you to fulfill your dominion mandate. Are you here with me, church? So we started exploring from the first, you know, from the first week of October, we started talking about dominion. And we started by teaching on the subject. The first was dominion by the blood of what? Covenant. Somebody say dominion by the blood of covenant. And when we started teaching dominion by the blood of covenant, I explained to us that the blood is God's last card, is God's red card, and no devil can stand the blood. And because no devil can stand the blood has been shed on your behalf in Revelation. It says, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. I established that strongly, and I'm sure that everybody understands the kind of security that you have as a believer with the blood. The bloodline has been drawn over you. No devil can cross the bloodline. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? And Apostle Paul said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, because I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus. Every troubler of your destiny, by the revelation of the blood mark, will stop them in the name of Jesus. Every area of your life, joblessness can be a troubler of your destiny. Lack of funds and resources for projects. Lack of that thing that you're expecting. I stop them in the name of Jesus. We moved ahead and we started teaching. And I moved forward talking about dominion by what? By the power of word, vision. And I said vision is everything you see on the face of the earth is a product of vision. When God creates a man, he puts a vision inside of the man at the appointed time so that the man will manifest that thing. So there's a purpose that you are created for, and your purpose will reflect in your vision. Your vision is a picture of God's assignment that you are carrying out. So it is divine mandate put inside a man. So God put it mandate, man, there is a date for it. So there is a date for your mandate to start. The Bible says, and this be the beginning of miracles that Jesus did and manifested his glory. At different times they came to Jesus and they said, my time has not come. So every person who has a mandate, there is a set date for the beginning of that mandate. Am I talking sense here? So I showed us that everything we see on the face of the earth that you call civilization was originally planned by God and packaged in men, and in different dispensations they come out to manifest it. And I said, vision is different from personal ambition, because your personal ambition is what you are pursuing personally to fulfill. But I said, vision is enshrined with the understanding of second Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. It says, for we are God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God has already foreordained that we should do what? Work in them. Are you here with me, church? Then I moved further a little bit in the midweek service last week, and I started talking by dominion by the power of word, dedication. Somebody say dedication. And I said, anything you are not dedicated to, it cannot be delivered to you. Whatever you are not committed to, you must be dedicated fully. And I'll be discussing four dimensions of dedication. Last week I discussed only one, and this week Tuesday I'll be discussing the other three. I discussed dedication unto God. He said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. with all. Somebody say all. You can't have a partial love for God. It has to be all. And I established that God has not come for partnership with you. He has come for ownership. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? And next week, on Tuesday this week, I'm going to be teaching about dedication to your divine assignment. I'll talk about dedication to your career, your life, your family, your business. I'll talk about dedication to your academics. Because the reason why people get a lot of zero is because they give zero dedication. So I'll teach how do we get the kind of dedication that is required. God helps us. On Tuesday, I'll be talking about that. And finally, I'll be talking about on Tuesday, when I fix home from dedication, I'll hit strongly on the power of focus and how to manage things. So this morning, I have the mandate from God to talk about something very instructive. You see, one of the things I discover in life is this. The most terrible thing that can happen to a man is to fight the truth that you need to embrace. When people fight the truth that they need to embrace, they cannot come into the reality of those things. So whatever it is that you are fighting that you need to embrace, see, no matter how much you fight something that you are supposed to embrace, you can't go far. Don't fight it. It's what God has designed. There are systems. See, in God, there is a system. There is a way God does things so that this is how to go about this thing to get this result. That you don't like a principle doesn't mean that you should. You say, I hate gravity. Pastor Mavis, I hate. What is gravity? Gravity is nonsense. Congratulations to you. You can climb to a 7-story building and just smile as gravity and say, foolish gravity. You can jump out and let's see what will happen to you. You will beg the angels to have charge over you and they will say, no, principles are said to be obeyed. Laws are in place. Am I making sense here? So today, by the grace of God, I'll be talking about dominion by the power of the altar of sacrifice. Write it down. Sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. Sound engineers, please help me very well. I'm not comfortable with what I'm getting. Dominion by the power of the altar of what? You're not saying it. Can you say loud and clear? In Genesis chapter 22 from verse 1 to 18, we see a man do something very unusual. And this man is Abraham by name. One day Abraham woke up and it came to pass that God said to Abraham, God did test Abraham. The word here is supposed to be test because God doesn't tempt, he tests people. Am I making sense here? So God tests Abraham. And when God was going to test Abraham, he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, I am here. Go ahead now. Let's go very fast. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son. Take now thy son, thy only son. But Abraham was supposed to have 2 children, true or false? But why is God saying thy only son? That means in God's eyes, he recognizes Isaac and not Ishmael. Am I making sense here? He said, so Abraham, take now thy son. He didn't say take tomorrow. He said take when? Now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering unto one of the mountains that I will show you. I will tell thee of rather. And Abraham rose up. So because God said now, Abraham rose up. God said now, Abraham rose up. There are many things in your life that God has said now to, but you are not doing the right thing. You must rise. Am I making sense here? He said, take now thy son, thy only son. Let it be like this, please. Just leave it like this. Thank you. Take now thy son, thy only son, Abraham, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Take now thy son. Somebody say, now thy son. Thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. God doesn't play. He qualifies things very well. He said, the one that you love. So Abraham woke up and he started going to the mountain. He didn't, I guess he probably didn't discuss with Sarah because he knows that Sarah will not understand this dimension of operation. But the Bible says that when Abraham took Isaac, he had faith that if he killed Isaac, God will wake Isaac back. He had faith. So let me even kill him first. Then let's know what God will do about Isaac. So the Bible says down there where we read, I won't be able to read all of them, but I will just give us the later part of it so that we can hold on to it. Can you go to verse 15? Verse 15. You know the whole story. Abraham took some of his men and they went to the mountain. And when they got there, he told them to wait. He took the young man up. So move to verse 13 now. Let me read from verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. Okay, by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So instead of killing Isaac, Abraham now saw a ram because God spoke out of heaven and said, Abraham, don't kill your son. Don't kill Isaac. Initially, God said, kill Isaac. Now God has seen it and he said, don't kill Isaac, Abraham. Please leave Isaac. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said unto this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be what? Sin. Go ahead. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. The first call is the call of obedience. The second call is the call of the manifest, of the release of the blessing as a result of your obedience. So God called him the first time and said, go and do this. So the second time God was calling out of heaven, Abraham had done what God said he should do. He had taken the step of faith to sacrifice. You cannot dominate beyond the level of the sacrifice that you put in life. And said, by myself, God said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this. Somebody say, because. I can't hear you. Can you say, because? Can you say it loud? Because. Said, because you have done this. So there must be a because for you to cause God to rise. God said, Abraham, because you have done this and have not withheld thy son, thy only son. Go ahead now. He now said, that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And verse 18 finally. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Many times when God wants to raise you to another level in life, he will call you to the place of sacrifice. Somebody say sacrifice. I can hear it loud and clear. Church, can you help me say sacrifice? In life, you must understand that there are laws, there are principles, and the law of sacrifice cannot be overemphasized. You must experience certain level of promotion, but until you get to that level where you can sacrifice certain things, you cannot get to certain places. Until you learn how to sacrifice certain things, you cannot move to certain levels in life. Am I talking sense to somebody this morning? Your ability to sacrifice, whether or not you do that sacrifice, will determine whether you'll be promoted or not. Every time God, you are face to face before a promotion, there will be a test for your sacrifice. Every time you are face to face before the next level, the next dimension of your dominion in life, there will be a test. Nobody ever is moved from one class to another without examination. An examination started as a result of the fact that God already starts examining people. God said, I will examine you. I will put you through my test. And when God puts you through a test to see what you can sacrifice, how you can sacrifice, how far you can go, if he sees that you pass the test, no devil can stop your promotion. As soon as you pass the test, forget about the fact that you are talking about prayer. You don't need prayer points when you pass the test. God will show up. You don't understand what I'm saying, church. So John C. Maxwell was trying to teach something, and I think you should take note of this. It's instructive. He said five things that happens about sacrifice. Number one, your sacrifice test will come at each stage of your growth. When you're about to move to the next level, number one, the sacrifice we're talking about, it will come at each stage of your life where you're about to grow to the next dimension. I'll be fast about this. Number two, your goal must be to pass the test. Abraham's goal was to pass that. I must pass this test. Because if he does not pass the test, this second time appearance will not show. Why? God said, it is because you passed the test that I am going to make you pass to the next level. Am I helping somebody this morning? Are you getting a revelation of this thing this morning? Number three, testing always precedes promotion. Testing will always precede promotion. Testing will always precede promotion. Number four, self-promotion or promotion by others can never replace divine promotion. Human beings can promote you. If God has not promoted you, you have not been promoted. That you decide that by yourself you have promoted yourself is not enough sign that you have gone far. No. People can even carry you and say, we hereby promote you. If you have not passed divine promotional test, it will not reflect in the promotion of men over your life. Oh God, I wish somebody understand what I'm saying this morning. And the last one, please pay attention to that last one. Very important. Promotion requires sacrifice. These are the five things that John C. Maxwell says about sacrifice. He said promotion requires sacrifice. Promotion requires sacrifice. Is there anybody in the house here who desires true promotion, moving to the next level of your life? Is there anybody like that here? You want to move to the next dimension of your life? Then you must be ready. There are things that God will say to you. There are things that God will put in your heart. There are things that God will lead you into. And those things will be very expensive and costly to you. It will be dear to you. But see, I'm not afraid to tell you the truth, because if I don't tell you, Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. If I say, people are always fighting promotion and that kind of thing, they're fighting sacrifice, they are not willing, I won't tell you the truth, I would have deceived you. The best thing that you need to hear is the bitter truth that will lead you to the next level. And this bitter truth is the secret of your promotion. And hear me, sir, no man can dominate, no man can access certain realms of prosperity, certain realms of wealth, certain realms of glory in your career, except you are sacrificing something for it. Am I talking sense to somebody, church, here now? I've come to realize that in life, things don't just change. People take steps and make sacrifices that give them results. Am I talking sense here? If you want things to change, you will not keep waiting. If you keep waiting, you will wait forever. Things will not change. There must be something that you must do. People provoke change. People decide in their life that, no, I am tired of where I am. I am tired of this level. I am tired of what I am seeing. I need something more. And whenever you need something more, you must do something more. The truth. Whatever level you are desiring in life and have not reached, the barrier between you and the next level is your sacrifice. And I discovered that people who are not children of God, many times they understand certain things about sacrifice and they go the extra mile. I was seated here some time ago, I think last year, or I can't remember, early last year thereabout, and a man walked up to me and he was sharing with me the experience of the things that they do to get projects. So he said, Pastor Marvin, sir, when we want to get certain projects, then I was not in the world before I got born again, these are the things that we do. We'll go to the herbalist or whatever, the witch doctor or whatever they call them, you know. And when we get to that place, I would ask the man that the person who are the people that are dragging the same thing with me, that he can see it for me. If he cannot see, I will take the names of all the people I know who are trying to get the contract together. He said, when I get to that place, I will ask the man, what sacrifice has each of them done? So the man can probably say, I'm telling you real life thing here now. He said, the man can say, okay, this person did just one ram, or this person did a goat. He said, what can I do to outdo his own sacrifice? The man will say, okay, you need to do two rams. He said, as soon as he does two rams, everything that the other man did will be nullified. Then he's on top. And you know, some of them will play these games until the last man standing, the highest bidder, will win. So the people of the world have little understanding in the area of sacrifice, that people don't just get things like that. Politicians are running for election, and in Abeokuta, wherever, one of them buried about 21 live cows. Buried alive. I must win. Now those are live cows. You can't tell the other person who went to bury human heads. Sacrifice! So that they can dominate. If you think I'm joking, go and ask questions, sir. In Genesis 25, God said to Abraham, he said, because you have done this, because you have sacrificed, then I will raise you to the next level of dominion. What have you done? I'm asking a question, church. What have you done? What are you willing to do? What is God asking you to do that looks very difficult? You say, God, I've heard you before, but this thing is hard. I've heard it before, but God, and God is saying, that is why you are where you are. Until you make up your mind to take the bull by the horn and do certain sacrifices. They can be painful, they can be hard, they can be demanding, but that is why it is called a word, sacrifice. Am I helping somebody this morning? So if you really want to see what you have never seen before, you must be willing to do what you have never what done before. God in heaven is the author and the first person that showed us massive example of sacrifice. After the Old Testament, the Bible says in John chapter 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world, he was looking for what to give, and he saw that an angel will not suffice. He saw the mighty beast in heaven, they won't suffice. The elders in heaven, they won't suffice. If he gives all the 24 elders, they will not be enough for the sacrifice. So he shall shouted in heaven and said, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And when he said that, a lamb appeared. And the person that appeared happens to be his own word, happens to be his own son, happens to be the second person of the Trinity of the Godhead. And Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, agreed. And he said, I will go and deliver men. And the Bible says, because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Sacrifice. So today you and I can sit down in church and understand that we have salvation because Jesus Christ paid for it. Salvation is free, but somebody paid for it. Are we here together at church? Am I really helping somebody this morning? Are you sure you're getting my gist? In 1 Kings chapter 3, let me show you a few things. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll not be able to read because of time so much, but I'll flow. Solomon came to the point in his life where Solomon wanted to move into a next level. He was just a little boy and now he's supposed to be the one to take over the throne of his father David as the king in the land. So when Solomon knew that this particular responsibility is so high, the level that he is right now cannot really cover up for the new level he wants to enter. So he went back and started thinking, what will I do? What will I do? And Solomon must have been watching David, that every time they had a serious battle and they needed to win, David will raise an altar. David will raise an altar. He said, now I know the secret. And he saw that all through the life of David, David had never raised an altar with 1,000 bullocks. And he said, So he said, oh, that's what David has never done. Because if you want to see what you have never seen, you must do what you have never done. So the Bible says Solomon went to Mount Gibeah and he told the guys, the headsmen, get for me 1,000 bullocks. Sir, I didn't say 100 bullocks. I'm not talking about the cows that are looking as if they want to die in Lagos market. I'm talking about bulls that are gigantic. Bulls that are massive in size. And they counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 500, 700, 800. And they said, nobody has ever done this. And Solomon said, yes, that is why I want to do it. Because if I want something that I have never gotten, I must do something I have never done. By the time he counted 1,000 bullocks and he killed all of them, killed them, and guess what, sir? It was a burnt offering. As if you just burned the thing alive. Not that people will use it to do party. Burnt offering. Solomon did not need any prayer point. In 2 Kings, the Bible says in the night, God just looked and said, he was waiting for Solomon to sleep fast. Bible says in the night vision, God appeared to Solomon and he said, Solomon, you provoke heaven. The sacrifice has reached heaven. Nobody on earth has ever done this. He said, now speak. I give you a blank check. Anything you want, say it. And Solomon looked at God and he said, yes, sir, if you want to command things you have never commanded, go the extra mile. That's how people get true dominion. Am I talking sense to somebody here? So God appeared and Solomon did that. And guess what? Solomon was a wise guy. Instead of him to ask, when God said, ask for what you want, he would have said, God, I want to be wealthy. I want to be rich. I want to have this. The Bible says Solomon started asking for wisdom for how to lead the people. So he was not selfish. The secret was that Solomon did not even truly ask for himself. So God said to him, he said, because you have not asked for yourself and because you have asked for my people, he said, in blessing, in riches, I will spoil you. In wisdom, I will spoil you. No king anywhere on the earth will have your kind of wisdom. The Bible says the queen of Sheba entered the temple of Solomon. When she saw the ushers of Solomon, the protocol officers, the way they were dressed, she entered the kitchen and she saw the people cooking. The queen of Sheba just went down like this. She fainted. They blew breeze on her. She woke up and she said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ears, but now I have seen your glory. Said, everybody needs to come and see what is happening here. When Solomon wanted to play her fast, he took her as one of his wives and he put her in the house. That guy, dangerous guy. One person with 300 wives and 700 concubines. I fear the guy. Am I communicating to somebody here, church? So you cannot rise above the level of your sacrifice altar. You must understand that. Some time ago, I was in a minister's conference, and Pastor Koride Kumaya was speaking to us, and he was sharing something in the minister's conference, and he said God led him to do a sacrifice, dangerous sacrifice in his heart. And when God led him, that God led him to give land, property to Bishop Oyedepo, I think four to Bishop, four to the wife, four to children, then the grandchildren, every of them wrote properties in their names and gave them properties. Why? Because he said, this is my spiritual father. I want to do something I believe nobody has done for him before. And this is a person that in the whole of Delta State, Koride Kumaya controls. He's the controller general in that area. So he said God led his heart, and he carried about 16 properties. And he went back and he said, these are the documents, sir. And Bishop looked at him. Ah! He looked at him. You know, there's a level of sacrifice you make. It will provoke blessing. It will provoke blessing. Jacob told his son, he said, go and get me something to eat and I will bless you. Bishop David Oyedepo looked at him and he said, He said, Korede Timba, shake me for a lot like Ole Muemo. If I swear for you tomorrow, if I curse you tomorrow, it cannot happen. That means by this sacrifice, you have nullified any kind of curse that I will ever raise over you. Sacrifice. If I swear, even tomorrow, future swear, he can't catch you again. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Church, are you with me this morning? What are the things that you need to do? What an altar of sacrifice can do? There are certain things you can do. Number one, the altar of sacrifice can break chronic poverty in families. Chronic poverty. In 1 Kings, I will not be reading. Please just write the scriptures. When you get back home, go and assess the things that I have said because of time. If there's anywhere I need to read, I'll point it briefly and move on. Are you being blessed this morning, church? Are you sure you are being blessed? I know that a lot of people will miss so much because some people will be considering the rain. But everybody needs to hear some of these things because somebody will just be one step to the next level of their life. And there are some people, God has already been speaking some dangerous things to their hearts and they've not done anything about it. Chronic poverty. The woman was a widow and there was famine in the land. And God already spoke to the woman in 1 Kings. He said, go and a prophet will come to you. You will feed the prophet. And the woman said, I have heard. So she thought it was a joke. And all of a sudden the prophet appeared. And when he appeared, the woman said, eh? She had said she had heard. Oh, but when the prophet appeared, he said, man of God, is just one cup. I and my child will eat this and we will die. The prophet said, woman, don't tell me that gist. Don't give me that gist. God told me to come and meet you. And I know he must have told you. He said, this thing is serious. And as the woman was going, he said, the woman said, I have heard I will get water. He said, no, not water. I want you to use that one you want to eat for you and your son. Get from it a good portion. Prepare for me first. Let me eat. Sacrifice it. It will pain you to be costly. It was so painful for the woman, but she went to sacrifice that last one. And as soon as she sacrificed that last one, the prophet was provoked and prophesied over her. He said, until rain comes down to the earth and everybody starts enjoying, the barrel of oil will never go out. The cruise of oil will never go oil. And the barrel where flour comes from will never dry. And the Bible says the woman did not live in scarcity throughout when every other person was crying. Sacrifice. By the power of sacrifice, you can break chronic poverty. Untimely and sudden death by the power of sacrifice can be terminated. In 2 Kings chapter 24, if you read from verse 1 to the end, please follow me. 2 Kings chapter 24 from verse 1 to the end. The Bible says that a plague came upon the land because David decided to number the people. And God was just looking at him. God steered his heart and he went wrongly and started numbering the people. And when he had numbered the people, he saw that God was very angry at him. And God said, David, come, what do you want me to do about you? Can you just choose 7 years of famine, 3 months of your enemies pursuing you and beating you hands down, or you just want 3 days of plague? And David said, God, I don't know what I want, but let me fall into your hand. If I fall into the hands of my enemy, I have never lost a battle. I don't want to lose anyone. I don't want. So God said, okay, no problem. The Bible says that an angel of the Lord came up in the land, and when he went to the land, in one day, how many thousand people were just dying, 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 dying. They were dying like dust. And David was in his house praying. As he was praying and praying, God sent the prophet. I said, this is not a prayer problem. It's a sacrifice problem. You need to raise an altar. So while the angel was in the threshing floor of Arahuna, and he stood there and he was looking at the other part of Jerusalem to consume everybody in the land, David ran fast and he stopped at the threshing floor. He met the man. He said, come. Because the angel told him, stand up from praying. Go and do a sacrifice. Many times you are praying, God is instructing you to do something. So he stood up from praying and he rushed to the place of sacrifice. And when he got to that place, the Bible says, the man said, take the land for free. He said, free what? I will never give to God something that does not cost anything. He said, how much will you sell the land? The man told him, the Bible says, he brought an animal. He raised an altar there and he did a painful sacrifice. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, the plague over the land ceased. It wasn't a prayer point issue. It was a sacrifice issue. Am I talking sense to somebody? Look at the things that I am mentioning and please pay attention to them. In the next 10 minutes, I'll round off this morning. Just follow me. Perpetual smallness and servitude can be broken by the altar of sacrifice. Curses are averted by the altar of sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 8 from verse 20 to 22, the Bible says that, and Noah, after this flood has subsided, nobody told Noah to do the sacrifice. Flood had come so hard, God was angry at the people. Then Noah woke up that day and he brought out of the animal seven. Now what Noah did was costly. Why? Because the animal that Noah killed were the animals that were supposed to continue multiplication on the face of the earth. So it was sacrifice. It was painful. That means what Noah was telling God is that, as I've killed this animal will not exist again. And God said, why would you think of this thing? Because from the beginning I told you to take them so that they will continue existence. And he said, it's a sacrifice unto you. I'd rather let the animal not exist and please you. And when he brought the sacrifice, the Bible says he raised an altar. When Noah raised the altar and he killed those animals, it was the last of that species that will ever exist on earth. And when he killed that animal before God, the Bible says right there in heaven, first time I got to know that God has nose, the Bible says God smelt a sweet smelling savour. And God raised his voice. He said, never again will I destroy the earth with water. And he spoke. He said, the curse over the earth that came as a result of Adam's sin has been reversed from henceforth. He said, seed time and harvest will not cease. Summer and winter will not cease as the earth remaineth. Why? Noah sacrificed. Is somebody getting what I'm talking about here? The next level in your career, the next level in your business, the next level in your marriage, the next level in your finances, you need an altar of sacrifice. There are limits and embargoes, barriers that cannot be crossed. Marital issues, undergraduates that are not getting jobs, and all the graduates rather are not getting jobs. Nobody is raising their head above certain limits in your family. Lack of destiny helpers. You need to provoke an altar to speak for you. Stubborn battles. Somebody say stubborn battles. Tell you about the battle in 2 Kings, and I'll give you a last story before I round off. 2 Kings chapter 3 from verse 1. That's what I'm going to read tonight. Then I'll tell you one story. I'll round off. 2 Kings chapter 3. Are you ready, church? Please put it on the screen for us. 2 Kings chapter 3. The Bible says that the Moabite king rebelled against Israel, and he said he was not going to pay tribute to Israel anymore. And when he said he was not going to pay tribute to Israel anymore, 2 Kings chapter 3 from verse 1 to 11, yes. When you get home, please, you go and try and read it up. So he said he wasn't going to pay tribute anymore, that he was not interested. So the king rose up and went after him. And when the king was going after him, Jehoshaphat raised his voice. And he wanted to confirm whether they were going to win the battle over the man. And when Jehoshaphat came to the prophet, he said, is there no prophet in the land? And Elisha the prophet came. And when he came, he said, get me a minstrel. I need to prophesy right now. Now the prophet came, they brought the minstrel before Elisha the prophet, and he started prophesying as they were playing the harp. And he prophesied that Moab will run, that they would destroy Moab, that everything will scatter, and they will win the battle and have the victory. And after he prophesied, they were excited. So they went into battle and they were fighting. They kept fighting. As they were fighting, the battle became very intense. And the king of Moab was fighting back. He was trying, but they had killed everybody. And you know, they usually have rank of men ahead that they must kill before you can get to the king. So he was just there and he got report that they've killed the first troop. They killed the other troop. So he had 70 men that drew the sword. 70 strong men that drew the sword. So the king of Moab looked at the 70 men that drew the sword, and he wanted to sacrifice to his Moabite god and say, please rescue me, I am dying. So even the people who are not of God know what sacrifice is. So he took 70 men that drew the sword, and he killed all 70 of them as sacrifice to his god. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 70! And after he killed all of them, thinking that the battle would stop, the battle did not stop. It was intense. God had said it already that they would win the battle. And when he saw that the battle was hard, he looked round and he looked to the throne. He saw his son that was going to be the next in line, the person that would take over his throne. And the Moabite king looked, and he looked at his God, and he said, I will show you something. So he came to the city, the gate, where everybody can see the sacrifice that he made. And he carried his first son that should sit on his throne. Sacrifice. And when he carried his first son, he hung him upon the place, and he drew the sword, and he slayed his son to death. And he was telling his God, see, sacrifice for you, blood. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, anger kindled against Israel. From nowhere, as they passed, they saw a man kill his son next to his head to the throne. And they knew that they had done great wickedness. The whole of Israel ran back in fear. And they said, this sacrifice is too much. The Bible says everything came down and Israel ran back because the anger was kindled around them. Now, it wasn't the anger of the Lord against Israel. It was the children of Israel seeing that level of sacrifice. They understood the power of sacrifice. So when they saw what the guy had done, they forgot the prophecy of the prophet that they said they would win. And that day, they went back and the king of Moab lived. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Until you learn to sacrifice, you will not be able to assess certain dimensions. What are you sacrificing? What are you giving up for your career? What are you giving up for your business? What are you giving up for your family? What are you giving up for your destiny? Am I talking sense to somebody here now? And sir, listen, a sacrifice is something that costs you dearly. Sacrifice can be your last money. It can be your only car. It can be your only property. It can be the best that you have. Jesus Christ was the best that God had at that time. The king of Moab, he was his eldest son, and next to his throne that he gave as a sacrifice. Something that is costly and expensive, very valuable. A sacrifice is something that you value so much that, ordinarily speaking, you will never let it go. You won't give it. That's what the sacrifice is. Some people, it is 1 full year salary. The alabaster boss woman brought 1 full year salary and went to buy perfume. Sacrifice. And Jesus Christ said, she did this thing for my burial. And because of her sacrifice, he said, anywhere you preach gospel, if you mention Jesus and don't mention this woman, you didn't preach it complete. Why? He said, her sacrifice will speak for her. Sacrifice. 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 If you don't have altar, sacrifice on your altar, your prayers can be bouncing back. On what sacrifice is your prayer coming on? You are praying and praying and praying. There must be a sacrifice on which your prayer is bouncing on. I tell you the truth, I lie not. This is the mystery of the sacrifice altar. Altar of sacrifice for assessing unlimited, unrestricted dominion in life. Sir, there are things that we have sacrificed. I know for us to see the dimension of things that we are seeing this year, the first month of the year, the kind of fasting I have never done in my life. I was fasting at the point I had to come and say, I'm dying. No, should I break this fast? And she said, man of God, continue. We want to see difference. I said, Jesus, I stayed there. I fasted. The whole of my stomach was turning my lungs. I had 7 days dry before. No food, no water, 7. But I wanted to stretch beyond limit. I said, God, I want to see what I have not seen. I want to know what I have not known. I want to experience growth that I have never experienced. I want to come into a fresh dimension of my ministry. And when we move into that atmosphere, the kind of testimonies we are hearing this year, they are different from last year. And the sacrifice of this year is what is bringing certain dimensions of things that you are saying. Financial sacrifice, I've gone to this work. Painful one. Tearful sacrifice. I made our family deny us of certain things we should do for this work. And there are a few people here that have done such deadly, dangerous sacrifice. Something is shifting. When you see a shift, somebody has sacrificed something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's not a child's play. And I was praying this month, this year, and God started showing me some things for next year. And I told, tired to manage on my calendar certain days in the month compulsorily next year that I must be on absolute. And God is saying, if you want more, son, you will go more. If you want more, you will go more. I said, this thing is serious. This business is serious. It's not ordinary. So you see certain dimensions of things. You hear people share testimonies. You go out and you see opportunities. Doors are opening. I mean, if I show you my schedule for October, if they bring it for you, you'll be wondering, how will you do all these things? Serious schedule. Your voice, somebody came and said, I'm seeing your poster everywhere inside. It's not Potter's program. Different other meetings. Why? Sacrifice is breaking grounds for doors. I have asked God for certain dimensions of open doors in my life. And I'm trusting God that by the reason of the sacrifice I did and I'm doing, I will continue to do. No devil stop me. The sacrifice will make you unstoppable. Did you hear what I just said? Finally, church, to bring this message to a close, in R.W. Shambach's meeting, A.A. Allen's meeting, Shambach shared the testimony of a woman. This woman had a child. The child happens to be 4 years old at that time, but when he was one, the doctor said he cannot live beyond his first birthday. And this boy is going to die. It's not possible. Why? He had 26 different sicknesses. His legs were curved. His hands were curved into his shoulder. He was curved like this. So when they want to feed him, they'll be struggling to feed the boy. If everything about him was just curved. He was a curvy child. There was nothing comely about the child. I don't know how, you know, this. Why is the mother carrying this child? That's the question. Where are you taking him to? What about this child? Leave this child. And the woman brought this 4-year-old boy to A.A. Allen's meeting. And while they were at the meeting the first day, A.A. Allen usually have certain prophetic grace where he can stay and he will paint the picture of how you came, from where you came and how you got to the place of the meeting. Clear like that. He will tell the kind of car you entered, just like very prophetic dimension at a heavy level. And for the first day, A.A. Allen didn't mention her case. They had booked a hotel where she was staying. She had spent all the money she had and it was remaining only $20. She had $20 last money remaining in her hand. And the woman, the first day A.A. Allen didn't mention their case. R.W. Shambach happens to be A.A. Allen's assistant at that time. So the second day, nobody mentioned her case. The third day, she now went to R. Shambach and said, see what is happening. Nobody has mentioned my case. I am angry. I will go home. Will I live here this fourth day of this program and this boy will remain like this? Can you please help me tell Brother Allen to mention the case of my son, or just pray for him? So Shambach promised the woman. He said, okay, if he does not mention your case after the service, I will take you and your child to go and meet the man of God so that he can pray for you. And she said, ah, at last, thank God. And while the program was going on, while they were there, A.A. Allen just came on the pulpit and he said, God is leading me to raise a sacrificial offering today. And it was unusual because they were not expecting, you know, sometimes you don't expect certain things that day. So he said, God is asking him to raise an offering, sacrifice. Anything you have, the highest bill on you, drop it in this meeting. Eh? So some people that had maybe $1,000, they wish they had cut it to maybe $50. And say, what is this? Why did I come with my $1,000 today? Why? So the woman looked up. She had told the man that only $20. She had explained everything to R. Shambach and explained to him that it was only $20 remaining in her hand. That's the last money she has. Heaven on earth, no other thing. And the man said, no problem. Use it to pay for your accommodation or whatever. So she agreed. Now, okay, any which ways. So Shambach now raised that offering. And when he raised that offering, he now entered the prophetic. And he said, I see a woman coming from so-so-so city, the woman. You are coming with a child. Exactly. The doctor said this, that he's going to die at 1 year. And now the child is 4 years already. Is that woman? I can see you. You are in this meeting. Where are you now? And the woman ran like a mad person. She, of course, you forget the child and first run and show your face. Then later you remember the child. And she brought the child. And Brother Shambach saw the child. Now, before Brother Shambach saw that child, that woman, he had raised that offering first before he mentioned her case. So when he raised the offering, the woman said that $20 in her hand, something told her, the devil is a crazy devil. He said, woman, if you drop it, you are finished. Where will you stay over the night? How will you feed? How will you and your children and your child cope? No hope for you. This is your last $20. And the woman said she was torn in between the confusion. And the devil explained to her, say, don't forget what the money is for. $16 is for the doctor, because if you leave here now, the child is not healed. You have to settle the doctor, and the remaining $4 is your transport back home. Do you understand? And the woman was battling. She was asking herself, will I drop it? Will I not drop it? Will I drop it? Will I not drop it? As she was battling in her heart like that, all of a sudden, the woman just ran out of annoyance, silenced the voice of that devil, and take the offering and dropped it there. And when she dropped the offering, the next thing was when the revelation came up. And she came with that child. And when she came with that child, listen, that sacrifice provokes the spirit of prophecy in the man of God. And God showed him the woman that has done the highest sacrifice. It was the last she had. And she dropped it. When she dropped it, the man of God that ordinarily had not seen the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, her matter came to the table of the prophets. And when he saw that result, he looked at the child and prayed for that child. And the curvy child, 26 sicknesses. I have the story here. I'll post the story on our family group page. You will read it this afternoon. R.W. Chambers' book. I'll post it. He said the curvy child now coughed up, opened up. His destiny and life opened up because of sacrifice. And when the child opened up, in those meetings, those days, it's not a miracle that you do without tests. You will go back to the hospital and confirm. Now, everybody saw 26 miracles, sicknesses and diseases disappear by just $20 that the woman gave. Then this woman came back and said, you don't know the complete miracle. Do you know that after my child started walking and everybody saw it, when I stood outside, I was going, people started bringing money to her. So she had 200 and something extra dollars that they dashed her for her healing. If she had kept $20, she would have lost the child. For $20, in that meeting, the child was healed. After the healing, people gave about $216 or $224 packed into her hand. And they went for the test. And the doctors confirmed. And on top of their certificates, they wrote miracle. That they have never seen it. How will it? All the doctors that had treated the child, they took through, all of them confirmed, by the power of sacrifice. We must learn it. It is painful. The devil will speak. The devil will tell you many lies. A man was about to do the same sacrifice in the same book, and he was hearing the devil saying plenty things, and he just blindly dropped it, $100. When he dropped the $100, the Bible said, the books rather said that when the man came, the first day people testified, he didn't testify. Second day, so in fifth day, he wanted to come and tell the man that he has dropped his $100 now. His own testimony has not come. All of a sudden, with $100, he had been a pastor in the city, pastoring for long, living in one apartment with his child and family. One man saw him and said, pack into this new house, free of charge. The sixth day of the meeting, by the sacrifice of $100. Sacrifice, they are deadly. Sacrifice are powerful. Sacrifice are the voice that speak upon the altar of your life. Sir, this thing is not an attempt to cajole anybody. If you don't believe it, it is fine. But the Bible says, believe on the Lord your God, it shall be established. Beyond believing what I am saying, go into the Bible by yourself, search the pages of the scripture, and see that every man that had reasonable result, it was sacrifice. God sacrificed Jesus. Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Alabaster woman gave her 1 year sacrifice. The Shunammite woman sacrificed. The Zarephath widow of Zarephath sacrificed. Everybody sacrificed. Apostle Paul himself was saying it. He said, we are rich, we are poor, as if we are poor, yet making others rich. Sacrifice. Rise up on your feet, church. Let God speak to your heart. This year is running out. It is October, November. What sacrifice have you really made? What seed is on the altar of your life? What sacrifice have you made that will bring about the prophetic promises that have been set over you to fulfillment this year? There must be a sacrifice on your altar. There must be a sacrifice on your altar. An altar without a sacrifice does not speak. Can you lift up your voice and say, Father, I receive a sacrificial heart. I receive the heart of sacrifice. Lift up your voice and talk to God this morning. And say, I receive the heart of sacrifice concerning my destiny, concerning my family, concerning my marriage. Are you praying this morning, church? Are you praying? Are you praying this morning? I receive a heart of sacrifice. When the acronomos ketuda shaparata kabarekre zuzobrenete elihondoronomos ketalaba. I receive a heart of sacrifice. I receive a heart of sacrifice. Nako satelimbra nabashta. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Look up, church. Give me Psalm 126 from verse 1. I'll show you two scriptures this morning. I'll share with you a few things laid in my heart. Then we're going to round off. Dominion does not come by chance. Dominion does not come by luck. People sacrifice things. People sacrifice things. Certain offices, some of the people who are bosses there, they have sacrificed their manhood. Some people sacrifice their mother. Some people sacrifice their child. And Jesus has been sacrificed for us. But what he demands is a heart of offering. Offering. He's not asking you to bring your manhood. He's not asking to bring your wife. He's not asking to bring your child. He's asking that I want to see whether you can let go of material things. Why? Because any person who has not broken greed cannot enter into the level of glory that he expects. You must break greed. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that did what? Dreamt. Go ahead. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Go ahead. The Lord had done great things for us. Wherefore we are what? Glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Go ahead now. They that sow, they sow how? If you are not sowing tearfully, you cannot get a record-breaking result. They that sow in tears shall reap in what? Joy. Continue. He that goeth forth weeping and bringing his seed, precious seed, shall in no doubt come in again, rejoicing, bringing in his what? Sheaves. The seed is one you are crying. It's painful. Say, God, why? 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 It's not easy for me. And God is saying, I know. But for your captivity to be turned, you must have a seed. Show me the last verse. I'm on business this morning because there's something God is laying on my heart. I want people's life to move to the next level. It's a serious business in my heart. Can you show me Haggai chapter 1? Haggai chapter 1. Just two verses and I will stop. Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1 verse 7 and 9. Haggai chapter 1. Let's read it now. Look at it. He said, thus saith the Lord. Haggai chapter 1, 7 to 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified. Saith. No, you didn't read. Verse 7. So, okay. I'll be glorified. Saith the Lord. Verse 9 now. Verse 9. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow it up. Why, saith the Lord? Because my house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. My house is just like that, and every man is running into his house of comfort. There's not a single one of us that your house is leaking like this now. If it's leaking, go and call your landlord. This one, we are the landlord. Can you see the house? When God spoke to me about this thing, 4 days ago, that we need to get a new tent here. I said, God, we already have a project in church. We have been our building prayer. He said, that's not an excuse. I was sharing with them this morning. I said, this rain is not by chance. This rain is trying to make what God said to me come to pass. I was smiling when it was raining. I was excited. I wasn't feeling bad. I knew that the rain was coming. And God was saying to me, he showed me this scripture. For you to see, it's not something that I came up with this morning. It's not something I just wanted to say this morning. He showed me this scripture and I looked at it and he said, he will, as it is, I'm just surprised that he's now showing us that look at how his own people are in his house. They are not comfortable. But when I go to my house and we go to our houses, we are very comfortable. I shared with my class. I said, that's what God told me this morning. That's what God told me. Now listen to me, church. Two things you must understand. Those of us who know about our building project, our land property, we have been pushing it. We're raising a committee for that. My next week will announce their names. But if you know you have not done any sacrifice, some people have done sacrifice, it's painful to you. But a devil is telling you, don't pay it. Don't pay. Hey, how can you pay it? You got the money. Say, That's the same thing that happened to that woman. Don't drop it. How will you drop it? Ah, the pastor is looking for how he's going to. I clearly don't have time for that. Why? My heart is consumed with the zeal of the Lord's house. It's about God. It's not about me. It's about God. It's not about any man's pocket. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here, church? So we have made sacrifice already. Many of us, over 200 people here have made sacrifice. I know some people who made sacrifice, 200,000 young students like this. Some have paid 85, some have paid 50, some are paying close to 100, and it's moving already. From this place alone, we have raised money that has run into a very negligible million anyway. Let's put it that way. Just by the look at how we look up. Somebody will wonder, are you sure? Yes, we have. And there are many other people that God has been steering your heart. Some of you already have made that sacrifice, but you have not acted on it. You are just feeling very like, how will I release? It's not easy. I told you that monies will start coming in. Don't be greedy. Could it be that the sacrifice is what God is about to use to turn something around? Please, if you have made that sacrifice already, I want to encourage you to steer your heart and start redeeming. Work on it. Now, those of us who have not made any sacrifice about our building project, I believe that that is one of the projects that God wants to use to raise us to another level. I want to charge you. I want to encourage you. Ensure that you key into it. We made seeds, 100,000, 200, some people 50,000. In fact, the minimum we made that day, people had to pay, was 50. If you know you want to do, because 100 was our benchmark, but if there are two people that want to do 100,000, then two people paid and they made 50,000. That was the least we did. I know it was going to be painful. I know it's going to stretch some people. I know it's going to keep some people on 1 meal per day for some time. But I know that I'm not the one that is talking about. It's God saying sacrifice is what I want. Are you here with me, church? So if you have not connected to that major commitment, please, I want to encourage you today. The finance team will be here after the service. Meet them and tell them what God has laid on your heart. 50,000, 100,000, 200,000, up to 1 million and above. Feel very free. But concerning this tent you are seeing here, today by the grace of God, I want us to open up our hearts. And we are going to sow a seed for it. It takes us about 250,000 to fix the tent. Then the logistics and every other thing around it, about 300,000 naira to get a 20 by 40 tent. 20 by 40. As soon as God instructed me, I went and made my research. In fact, somebody was asking me, I said, I've done research. I know what God has put in my heart already. I've done my research. A 20 by 40 tent that is not going to leak like this. We're going to find a way to cover the body a little bit. It's going to cost us about 300,000. And if we have 300 people in church, of course, we may not have that number this morning. And we have a few people in church that say, Pastor Mavis, this week is not necessary. We want to get that tent. I'm tired of this thing. I'm tired. Some of us there, you know what I'm saying. You know what? If you want to bring your friends to church, many of us love this church, but you want to bring your friends to church, they're not going to sit under the rain like this. Am I making sense here now? So it's our project, and we have to accomplish it this week. If God lays in your heart, whatever the seed, whether it's 10,000, 5,000, 2,000, 1,000, I just want to ensure that we are going to get an offering today that we're going to buy a tent next week. We're fixing another tent next. By God's grace, God helping us, except if they cannot finish in seven days. We're going to drop our first deposit with them tomorrow so that they can start. So we're going to do that sacrifice. This is apart from the church projects that you are planning for. That's a bigger one. This one is something you can just handy. Maybe 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 or more as God lays in your heart. Whatever way. That's what we're going to do this morning. I'm not going to call anybody out for now. All you do is that you're going to raise up your hand and indicate, I'll pray with you. The account number is going to be on the screen. You can send directly to the account number, or you just copy the account number when you get home. You can do it. It's a sacrificial seed. Some of you, it is your data for the week. You have lost data, $1,500 or $200,000, data rather, that you are moving for the week. Whatever it is, I just want us to do something today. The major project is still ahead, but we cannot leave our house like this while we're looking for that one. We must organize ourselves. Please stop pouring water on people, Brother Edwin. Don't let water pour on them. God bless you. So we're going to do that this morning, trusting God. Whatever God lays in your heart, 10,000, 5,000, 2,000, while we're in church, we're going to do that. Before you start sending the money to the account, please hold on. Lift up your hands. I'm going to pray with you. Anything God lays in your heart, nobody is asking you compulsorily. It's not by force. Please, it's not by force. Just make sure you are not coerced. I hate giving under pressure. I hate giving with fear. I hate giving with intimidation or threat. There's no threat about it. Nobody. It's just we want to make our house better. This is the house of God. Lift up your hands, all of us that know you want to do something. If it's 5,000, 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, anything that God lays in your heart that you're going to send to this account between now and Thursday, Friday, between now and Thursday, Friday, so that we can fix up this tent. Lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Oh, Jesus. Mandarabo Shakatalabrana Master. The heart of sacrifice. Lord, see the heart of your sons and daughters. Their commitments. We cannot let your house be like that while our house is comfortable. We cannot let it be like that when we are getting enough comfort in our rooms. Lord, their hands are raised. Their hearts are lifted this morning to make a sacrifice, both for the building project and for this one. For those who are making whichever one, the God you lay in their heart. Lord, I pray, as they have sacrificed this morning, their altar will become vibrant and active in the name of Jesus. This altar of sacrifice that you are raising, it will speak for you this week in the name of Jesus. By this sacrifice, testimonies will break forth this week in the name of Jesus. By this sacrifice, God will do a new thing in the name of Jesus. I prophesy today, as we build God a house, as we amend the things that are wrong in this house, and put it in place, God will go ahead and put things in order for us, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you are God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now look at me. As you do that, church, the account number is on the screen. Feel free to send whatever God lays in your heart. Is this a partnership account? That's what we're using for this. Is partnership account we're using for this? Is this project or partnership? Partnership account. Please don't send to this one. Sorry. Hold on. If you have sent into it, no problem. We can sort it, but please hold on. We want to use a fresh account so that we can clear that and do the project fast. Partnership account. Partnership account. While you are doing that, please sit up in heavenly places. Listen to me, church. This sacrifice that you are doing now, listen. Don't let sacrifice be a one in a lifetime thing for you. From time to time, as God steers your heart, every time a promotion or something is about to come, anyhow, God usually will steer people. Be a free giver. Sometimes it can be because of
marriage. Trust these words have blessed you. You can fellowship with us at Portus Transformation Christian Center, Kilometer 4, Lasso Isheri Expressway, at Agogo Costa, Iba. Or follow us on social media at PTC Center. God bless you. We know God's word. We believe God's word. Elijah, giving out the altar of service. Nothing.